Beloved congregation, in Psalm 78, the very beginning of it says, Maskil of Asaph. That means for Asaph to give instruction. This psalm is not only for comfort, but it's specifically to give instruction. And then even more specifically, instruction from Jehovah God. Give ear, O my people, he says, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. The word parable is the same Hebrew word as proverb, like we have the Proverbs of Solomon. I will utter dark sayings of old. And without us realizing it, when we read those words there, I will utter dark sayings of old, we are reading a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ who was to come. Because I read in Matthew 13, verse 34 and following, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. So it's quoting there from Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will speak to my people, says the Lord God. Those people set aside by Jehovah himself, the covenant people of Jehovah God. In the Old Testament, that would be Abraham's seed, the nation of Israel, marked with circumcision. In the New Testament, believers are Abraham's seed. Galatians 3, verse 29, and they are marked by baptism. And in connection with baptism, this evening we have instruction in a covenant family, as we see the evidence of a faithful covenant-keeping God. Our text is Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. Let me just read to you verse 7. That they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The text is 1 through 8. And the theme is a covenant family's instruction. We need to answer some questions this evening that arise from this text. And first of all, what is a covenant family? And then secondly, what are the covenant lessons? And thirdly, what is the covenant purpose? If you read with me through Psalm 78, you will realize that the word covenant does not appear there, nor does the word family, nor does the word instruction, except in the Hebrew word maskil. When you read with me just a few little phrases from this Psalm 78, he speaks of my people. Whenever the Lord speaks of my people, that's covenantal language. My people. He speaks of the generation to come. And we know that the Lord is a covenant God from generation to generation. He promised in Abraham that all the families in the world would be blessed in him. He calls himself here the Lord. And Lord is in all capital letters, meaning Jehovah God, the faithful covenant-keeping God. So this is indeed instruction in a covenant family. What is that covenant family then? Covenant family is made up of believers and their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. We read here about fathers who have told us certain things that we have heard and known. Our fathers told us word for word. Like it says in Psalm 44, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou did in their days. In our text in verse 4, we will not hide them from our children. In Job 15, verse 18, wise men have told from their fathers and have not hidden it. Here in verse 5 of our text, he commanded our fathers. You notice the great emphasis on fathers in this covenant family. That those fathers should make them known. It doesn't exclude mothers. We know that very well from the book of Proverbs also. So speaking here of parents. So in covenant families, we have parents and we have children. Our fathers have told us, the children, we will not hide them from their children. Make them known unto their children, the generation to come, the children which should be born, and make them known to their children. So you have this fathers and children. In verses 5 and 6, you actually have five generations that are mentioned. You just think it through with me. When it says fathers, if we would think this evening of great grandparents, and we see great grandparents here this evening, that's an amazing thing. When we have three sets of great grandparents and one great grandma who could not come, but they're here. And then it mentions their children, so that would be the grandparents. The Stams and the Nielses. And the generation to come that's mentioned here would be your generation, Matthew and Elizabeth. Your generation. And their children, that's Riley. And then it speaks of their children. So even the next generation, Lord willing, Riley's children, are all mentioned in our text. That's an amazing thing. And it's an amazing thing that you could have in one worship service where the sacrament of baptism is administered, that you would actually have four generations present. That is so unusual in this day and age and in the church at large. Let us this evening praise the Lord for His covenant faithfulness, even in our presence here. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Then you shall let your children know, Joshua 4, verse 22. So on the basis of Scripture, parents are to teach their covenant children. So in a true covenant family, the instruction of the children in that family, you could say the instruction of the children and the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren is the responsibility of the parents, the grandparents, the great-grandparents. Not first and foremost someone else's responsibility, but here specifically this evening, parents. You are called to teach your own children from generation to generation. Why? Because as Psalm 119 says, the Lord's faithfulness is unto all generations. Here it speaks of the things we have learned from our parents. Specifically, fathers. From very early childhood, right through the teenage years, mom and dad, you are on the forefront. You are the one who is responsible, especially we who are fathers. And our children are the ones whom we are to be teaching. And we instruct them until they step out on their own and often far beyond that too. And instruction never really stops. But then think also this evening with me, not only of a family of parents and children, but also a church family. A covenant church family. Because Lord willing, in the future, little Riley will become to Sunday school. She will attend worship services. And she will be involved in this church family. So in that covenant family, the instructors are the parents. But also in a covenant community, others are teaching. And we're all teaching in this community. As a covenant family, as a covenant church family, we begin to teach our children. We have believing parents instructing their children from generation to generation. So that's what a covenant family is. Believers and their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and at times even great-great-grandchildren. But what are the lessons? What are we to be teaching? You read it in various phrases in our text. In verse 1, my law, the words of my mouth. Whenever the Lord speaks of my law, he's not just speaking about commandments, because law also refers to the five books of Moses. All of it, including creation. So when you see my law here, think of the Word of God instructing the lessons of my law. A parable, dark sayings of old, the praises of the Lord. That's part of this lesson, the praises of the Lord, singing His praises, singing the Psalms, teaching about His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. He says, I left a testimony in Jacob, a law in Israel, teaching the works of God and His commandments. Yes. His commandments, the Ten Commandments too, summarize all of that and you have, teach them the Word of God. The whole Word of God. Parents, here we have promised in the third question of the form when our children were baptized that we intend to see our children when they come to years of discretion instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of our power. And I know every time there's baptism we're reminded of that and we kind of shudder at that. To the utmost of our power. The aforesaid doctrine, what is that? That's found back in question 2. The doctrine that is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith in which is taught here in this Christian church. We're teaching our children these things. Teaching the children the three things that they know, they need to know in this life. That they may live and die enjoying the comfort of the Lord. Their misery. How to be delivered from that misery and how to show thankfulness for that. We had such a good example of it from the form for the administration of baptism. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin. That's a sad reality. Therefore, our children of wrath. In so much that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless we are born again. Teaching our children these things. But holy baptism witnesses and seals unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. That's why we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we're teaching our children those things. And thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore we are by baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience. Baptism, a sacrament of the covenant of grace. That phrase is used 7 times in the form that we read. Oh, parents, let us teach our children the covenant blessings, but also the covenant curses for covenant breakers. Let us teach our children the great covenant privileges, but also great covenant responsibilities. And how? How shall we teach these things? Again, turning to our text, there's all these little phrases. I will open my mouth. I will utter. We will not hide them from their children. We will show them to the generation to come. We will make them known to their children. We will arise and declare them to their children. So when you have speaking and uttering and not hiding things and showing and making them known and arising and declaring. Opening your mouth. Saying it out loud. Teaching, praying in and with your families and singing with your families. With your mouth wide open. And how shall we speak about these matters? Reverently, gently, honestly, biblically. And when? As soon as possible. As soon as possible. A child is never too young to begin learning from its parents. We're not going to hide things from them. Focusing on the one thing needful, our God and His glorious attributes. So when our children are old enough and there's a thunderstorm, then we tell them of the awesome power of our God. And we see a sunrise or a sunset with our children, we tell them of the glory of our God. And then we see people who are not serving the Lord at all. Then we tell them of the amazing grace of God. Whereby people do serve Him. Showing our children the doctrine of the Word of the Lord. That means living an example before them. The example of the Christian life. What does that consist of? Love to God and love to our neighbor. Showing by our example that the Word of God is our authority. Parents, our children need to see in our lives, God is real for my mom and dad. The Lord Jesus Christ is the most precious person in my mom and dad's life. They will see that. They will know that. You'll be showing that. And we show them by being consistent. So that we don't say one thing and do another. You can't teach your children. No, you're not allowed to steal. And you're not allowed to lie. And then when you cross the border, don't declare your purchases. That would be being inconsistent. Showing, teaching by our words and deeds. You can't teach your children the importance of church attendance. The importance of attending on the means of grace and then just stay home whenever that attendance is inconvenient or you're too tired or too sleepy. Or it's easier to listen on sermon audio. Making these things known to our children. Causing them to know. How can we cause our children to know the Word of the Lord? Well, we get them to memorize. Memorize lots and lots of Scripture. Isn't that what David said? Thy Word have I hidden in my heart. And how do we hide God's Word in our hearts, children? We memorize text and verses and songs and it stays there. And He did it so that I might not sin against God. Have them memorize the Psalters. Have them memorize Handel's Messiah. Just sing it with them and they will know. And let's have our children memorize the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. And go over their catechism lessons together. We should arise, says the psalm, and declare them to our children. So arise, make it worth your effort. Stand up for the truth. And teach our children by example. I think in every family, certainly here, there would be a daily time of family worship. Special time every day where nothing interferes. Where dad just lets the phone ring and he says, if it's important, they'll call back. And where mom and dad say, no texting at the table, no matter how old fashioned that might sound. Think what that would be like. Every day, after supper, for example, before the dishes are done, the whole family's gathering around with their Bibles, and the children have their own little Bible, and they take turns reading several verses, and father asks a few simple questions about what they've just read. And each child is given the opportunity to ask or to comment. And then father leads in prayer, praying for each of his children by name, especially for their soul's concerns. And if they're unsaved, pleading with God in their presence. On Friday, we were driving down a Young Road past Friendly Mike's Pub out there by across from the airport. And as we drove by there, I suddenly remembered. One evening about, I don't know, probably 35 years ago, and together with a friend of mine, we were going in the front door of Friendly Mike's Pub with the intent of getting drunk. And suddenly he stopped and he said, I can't do this. I said, what do you mean you can't do this? We do this all the time. I can't do it. Why not? I said. It's because my dad just prayed for me at supper time by name that I would not do this. I can't do it anymore. That night he didn't do it. Just praying for your children by name can make such an impression. Pray for specific family matters. Pray for the church family. Pray for the office bearers. Ask your children for prayer requests. Allow the children to pray out loud and keep it brief, please. And sing a few numbers from the Psalter, their memory verse for school. But you know something, Dad? For all of this, you need to be there. You need to be there and think about Sundays. That one day of the week where we don't have to go to work. One day of the week set aside for this very purpose, when you can have special times, times of sermon discussion around the table, where everyone comments, at least make one little comment on the sermons of the day, and they can have a time of prayer. And how that, when you begin that now, when your children are very little, most likely they will do it too. When they're older and have their own families. What is a covenant family? A family where parents are instructing their children in the Word of God. And the lessons they're teaching them are biblical lessons. Covenantal lessons. Lessons drawn from the Scriptures for all kinds of different situations that arise. And why would we do all this? What is the purpose of this? That's the third question we need to answer. What is the covenant purpose of all this? Verse 5, he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Why is there so much emphasis on instructing our covenant children from the Word of God? Why does this psalm stress that responsibility so strongly? What is the purpose? You find it in verse 6. so that the generation to come might know them. The generation to come might know the doctrines of the Word of God in verse 7, and that they might set their hope in God. That's the purpose. That our children might know them, the truths of the Word of God, and set their hope in God. Psalm 73, the psalmist says, I have put my trust in the Lord God. And we do this so that they will not forget the works of God. We want our children to constantly remember the works of God as they are described in His holy word, and to keep His commandments. Being warned by the disobedience of their fathers. More on that in just a minute here. But first of all, then, that they might set their hope in God. And parents, isn't that what you want for your children? That you would know that your children set their hope in God. What does that mean? That means to take refuge to the hope set before them in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 6, verse 18. We want our children to set their hope in the Lord God through Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the main purpose of all spiritual instruction. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. How do children come to know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent? Through the Word of God. And we teach them. And that they might not forget the works of God. Teaching our children the great works of God in creation and in recreation and in salvation. Teaching our children the sinfulness of their little hearts and the holiness of God in heaven. Focusing with our children on their great need for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and focusing with our children on the perfect obedience and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, teaching our children the great truths of the Scripture. When you teach your children about sin enough, then you can never teach them about Christ too much. Right? When you teach your children about sin enough, you can never teach them about Christ too much. But they all need to learn so desperately those two things, sin and grace. Sin and grace. The lesson our children need to learn, the lesson we need to learn over and over. That they will not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And what did Jesus say when a lawyer said, what is the greatest commandment? He just summarized the whole of the commandment and said, love God above all. And love your neighbor as yourself. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the purpose we teach our children all these things is that they might not be as their fathers. What kind of fathers? Well, our text says, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. We don't want our children to be like that. Later on in Psalm 78 and verse 37, it says, for their heart was not right with Him, that is with God, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation, says Joel in chapter 1, verse 3. Why? So that they would not be like their fathers. And I know there's fathers here who say, yes, that was me. Some fathers here who say, that's still me. Stubborn and rebellious. Stubborn going my own way. Rebellious against God's ways. That our children might not be like that. A generation that set not their heart aright. And whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And we want our children's hearts to be set right. And we want them to be steadfast with God in their spirit. And how blessed it would be if each generation improved upon the generation that came before them. And you know, there's so many examples in church life today where we actually see that happening. Where we think of us as fathers. And then we see our children and our grandchildren improving. Improving upon the generation that went before. And it's all by the grace of God. And yes, parents, we are called to strive to educate our covenant children. And that takes wisdom and patience and discretion and discernment and perseverance. Where are we going to get that from? From that same faithful covenant-keeping God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Children, or parents, we have two arms. And I heard a minister say this last week. With one arm, hug your child close by. And with the other arm, point him or her to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hug your children close with one arm, always directing them to the Lord Jesus Christ with the other. And with all this instruction and all this talk about parents and teaching, remember, we need the Holy Spirit's blessed application. God works through parents. He sends His Holy Spirit to bless His Word and His work. So parents, let's work as if our children's salvation depended on us. Work as if our children's salvation depended on us, and let us pray knowing that our children's salvation depends on the Lord and His blessed Holy Spirit, and knowing that that Lord delights in mercy. That's what it says in the Bible. He delighteth in mercy. That's why our children are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because they need each person of that Holy Trinity in their lives. So children, when your parents try to teach you, and they will do that with all kinds of shortcomings and strange things sometimes, but strive to learn what they're trying to teach you. Remembering that the Lord God delights in mercy. And He has shown that He delights in mercy. Just think of what the Lord Jesus Christ does on the cross of Calvary. What a picture of God's mercy for sinners. Sinners like me. And sinners like you. And remember also what the Lord Jesus Christ preached in His very first sermon. You know what the first words He said when He began to preach? He said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent and believe the gospel. And from other places in the Bible, we know that repentance is a gift from God. He doesn't only command it. gives it. And same with faith. When He commands us to believe, He also gives that faith as a gift. Children, it's not enough to know your Bible. You need to believe it too. And as you learn more and more from that Bible, you pray for the Lord's blessing on His Word. That Word that tells us He gives His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Luke 11, verse 13. He gives His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. It's not enough to be baptized. No, you need to believe that gospel of Jesus yourself. You need to repent of your sins yourself. Your parents can't do that for you. They can teach you, but they cannot do it for you. That's something you need to do by the grace of God. So constantly go back to this faithful covenant-keeping God and tell Him, Lord, I've been baptized. I am baptized. Thy name is on me. And I can't erase it. Please do for me what that baptism pictures. The washing away of my sins. There will be parents here this evening, I know, who are right now very, very discouraged. Thinking we did it all wrong. And now, it's too late. But it's not. It's not too late. Pray, pray, pray. Pleading the covenant faithfulness of Jehovah God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't make the mistake like we have heard so many times. Well, the only thing we can do yet is pray. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. The greatest thing you can do is pray. And the first thing you do is pray. And the next thing you do is pray. And the third thing you do is pray. And you keep on praying. And when you can no longer talk to your children about the Lord, you keep talking to the Lord about your children. And never give up on a covenant-keeping God. Go to Him again and again with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and remind Him of what we heard this morning from Genesis 15. How God in Genesis 15 swore an oath saying, if I break my covenant, I will die. But if you, my child, break my covenant, I will die. And He did. On the cross of Calvary. For people who by nature will always, always, always be covenant breakers. The only covenant keepers are those who are covenant keepers through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He delights to show that mercy of Jesus Christ to sinful, unfaithful parents and their sinful, unfaithful children. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a beautiful picture Thou hast given us in baptism of the washing away of sins. And also, Lord, what a picture of the love of God for sinful people. Lord, baptism is not a sign of Thy wrath, not a sign of Thy anger and Thy justice, but a sign of love and mercy and grace, And we beseech thee, Lord, for all of us who have received that sign, that thy blessed Holy Spirit will make real what it pictures, the washing away of our sins, and that we may live a life out of that reality, out of the fullness of the grace of God. Lord, again we commend little Riley Grace unto thee, the faithful, covenant-keeping Lord God. Be with Matt and Lizzie. Bless them as parents. Be with us as grandparents and also with the great-grandparents, that we may constantly bring her to thy throne of grace. And bless this church family too, that all the children of this church may be prayed for daily by all thy people here. Lord, bless us, we pray. We acknowledge we don't deserve the least of thy blessings. But wilt thou do it for thy covenant's sake, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.